Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, question from Gupta Govardhan. Question about the power and the position of Tulasi Devi. When Advaita Acharya appealed to the Lord to descend, he held Tulasi leaf and Ganga Jal in his hand.
Yeah.
Does Mahavishnu still need assistance of Tulasi Devi and Ganga Jal? And also, Haridas Thakur would chant his rounds before Tulasi Devi. We can see it in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the prostitute he delivered would offer obeisances to the Tulasi tree first, yeah, before approaching Haridas Thakur. What is the ultimate position of Tulasi Devi?
Well, we hear that Parvati Devi inquires from Shiva, what is the highest type of worship? He says, Aradhananam Sarvesham, Vishnu Aradhanam is Param. The Aradhanam, worship of Vishnu, that is Param, that is supreme. And she's feeling some disappointment. He can see, because she's saying, well, I worship you in the supreme position. He says, Tasmat Paratram Devi Tadiyanam Samarjanam. But what is even superior to the worship of the Lord, of Vishnu? Well, the Vishnu means God. Remember, Vishnu is Krishna, right? Not showing all the sweetness of Krishna, but Krishna. It's not like to be seen, separate in a bad way or in a undesirable way, but, you know, one and different. But not showing all the sweetness of Krishna. But anyway, generally, and many times the word Vishnu is synonymous with divinity. So he's saying, but tasmatra paratrandi tadiyanam samarjanam. But what is tadiya? What is dear to the Lord? To worship what is dear to the Lord is even more a superior type of worship. Guru Maharaj, Gurudev, Prabhupada, Saraswati, they all quote this English saying, you know, if you love me, love my dog. Right? I heard Prabhupada say this in New Vrindavan in 1972 on a hilltop, so-called Bhagavat Dharma Discourse. It's the time of his Vyas Puja, and he gave this very example there. And he's speaking very humbly, because so much praise he is getting. But means, so what is dear to the Lord, really, if you want to approach him, that will be the method, as opposed to trying to approach him directly. So, of course, Mahavishnu would know this. He's acquainted with all Siddhanta. Remember, his name is Advaita and Acharya. He knows the path to Krishna's heart. So with and how powerful it is, with a palm full of Ganga Jal and Tulsi leaves, and maybe Tulsi Mandris like that, he's says his prayer, which he's quoting again. Tulasi dala matrena jalasha chulakena ba vikrinite swamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktabatsala. And Krishna, in his own domain, dhamna svena sadasrusta nirasta kuakam satyam param dhimahi. He's thinking, what is he thinking about? Devotion. He's overwhelmed by the devotion of Srimati Radharani. It's So everywhere you look, this is the principle. So even when he's making this prayer, what is he's overwhelmed thinking about the devotion of Radharani. He's totally captivated by her. And while contemplating what it would be like to be her, to experience the position of a devotee. Remember, as Krishna, Adi Purusham Govinda, the supreme enjoyer, original joy, the original male, in the purest sense of enjoyer. He can only theoretically understand it from that, but he's making this observation. To actually experience that, to taste what she's tasting, to have the kind of love that she has, and to experience the accompanying ecstasy and ecstatic transformation, he would have to, in a sense, relinquish his Krishna position, that enjoyer, Purusha, we can mean male, among other things, so that it's incongruous with devotion, and that's significant. The idea of enjoying another is incongruous with the devotional mood and position. And we see, interesting, all this emphasis is put on Krishna wanting to take the position of a devotee. But we don't see, there are no examples where the devotee wants to take the position of Krishna. Except the gopis in their divine madness and separation, they're reenacting his pastimes. That's different. They're not changing their position. And they're not, and it's not from the platform of enjoyment. So who are the only competitors of Krishna, or those trying to usurp that position, are the deluded souls and conditional existence. They're thinking like, what would it be like to be, you know, the supreme enjoyer? But the supreme enjoyer, this should not escape our, you know, scrutiny. He's contemplating, what would it be like to be a devotee? And you would think, well, wait, as the supreme unlimited enjoyer, and we hear these pastimes, there's billions, if not trillions, of Braja Gopi, it's like enjoyment beyond what we can conceive of in many ways. Why should that person be interested in understanding and relishing the devotional position? Because the observations he makes that are revealed, candid revelations of the interior monologue of the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed in the opening chapters of Chaitanya Charitamritam. He's saying, it appears to me in this exchange that it's not necessarily one-to-one or equals, and that even though I'm in the dominant position, it appears that her enjoyment is 10 million times greater than mine. So that should give us pause and think, wait, he's the supreme enjoyer. He's capable of, the billions and trillions of gopis reciprocating love and affection, an infinite number of beings and a variety of rasas. And he's saying, in my estimation, what she's experiencing is superior to what I'm experiencing. So one thing we take away from this is that the position of the devotee is not less. The devotional position is not, secondary. Saraswati Thakur, in response to his disciple in Radhakund on Brajamandal Parikrama, and saw people worshiping Radhakund by doing, measure one length of the body, dandavats, going around like that. this Maharaj and his Rani and family. And that devotee was surprised and said to Saraswati Thakur, like, they have so much devotion for Radharani. Because he was thinking, you know, that's like the Gaudiya Vaishnava position. So he was surprised to find people were not ostensibly, clearly in this line, worshipping Radharani. He inquired about it. And Saraswati Thakur said, yes, they worship Radharani, but said there's a big difference between them and us. In their conception, Krishna's in the primary position and she's in the secondary position. And because she's dear to Krishna, they worship Radharani. He's saying, but our position is just the opposite. Radharani is in the primary position. And at that time he said, we are Shuddha Shaktas, which is meaningful in context because generally it's the Shaktas who are the opponents of the Vaishnavas. Shaktas will generally mean the followers of Devi, right? The goddess. And they're in opposition to the Vaishnavas. So for Saraswati Thakur to say to his Gaudiya Vaishnava followers, actually, we're Shaktas, we're Shuddha Shaktas, because we're worshiping the ultimate potency, not the external, you know, the shadow. Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharti Durga. In the Brahma Sangita, Chaya, saying Durga Devi and Devi in general, means the shadow potency of the Hladini Shakti. So he's saying, Radharani, we're Shuddha Shaktas, worshipping the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Radharani. And because Krishna is dear to her, we come in connection with Krishna. In service to her holy lotus feet, we come in connection with Krishna. How beautiful is that? And I like to point out, hearing this from Guru Maharaj, for those of us who've been in connection with the Krishna conscious movement for some years, say 10 years, for this shift to take place, it was, life transforming. The whole world shifted with this conception. It wasn't something like of peripheral interest to find out that actually, Kintu Praboya Priyayava Tasya Bande Guru Sri Charananavinda, that on closer scrutiny, the shift of guru conception moves from Krishna to his potency, from Prabhu to Prabhu Priya, the one who's most dear to Krishna. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his songs, describes Srimati Radharani as the Ujwala Rasa Acharya. So Krishna saying, all the world is mad for me. They're mad by my fragrance, the sound of my flute, the name, all these things. He's saying, but who can, so I'm designated Krishna, all attractive. Who can attract me? Saying, one with superior qualities. And he's saying, and who is that? That is Srimati Radharani. This is from Krishna. Remember, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a revolutionary literature, and this is in the beginning. The foundation. And he's saying, so she has superior qualities to me, no less than Krishna himself saying that. And he describes that. So, in the Bhagavatam, also teaching to Uddhava, he's saying, Madbhakta Puja Abhyadika, the worship of my devotee takes precedence over my worship. What are we saying in the song? Where it says, Dupa, Deepa, Naivedya, no, but the other line about the offerings. About all these offerings are unacceptable without Tulsi leaves. Right. Without Tulsi. Always, Tulsi Devi must be there in the proper worship of Krishna. Right. We wear the Tulsi mala, Kanti mala on our necks. We chant on Tulsi beads. All of our offerings are made with Tulsi. Even in the beginning, when Raghunath Das was given the Govardhan Shila, what was he told initially? The minimum requirement for the worship was water and Tulsi leaves. Later, Mahaprabhu said some kaja, that puri sweet, and some other things. And we can think also, it may be a strategy to feed Das Goswami. But in the beginning, just the Tulsi manjaris, Tulsi leaves, Tulsi manjaris, and water, that concept. Patram, pushpam, palam, toyam, yome bhakta prayachati. Right? Patram, we can say, leaf, what leaf? Tulsi leaf. First, patram, pushpam, palam, you know, flower, manjaris. Water, what water? Ganga, Jamuna. And in Mahaprabhu's pastime, normally we think of the Ganga Jamuna as emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord. And what they're astonished to see, they're seeing the Ganga is streaming out of the eyes of Mahaprabhu. So these pastimes, now that flow, it's the flow of Krishna Prem, which comes from the lotus feet of Krishna, now it's streaming out of the lotus eyes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So while he's in Goloka Vrindavan, contemplating, embracing the position of Srimati Radharani, Advaita Acharya makes his prayers with the Tulsi water. And that he can hear. That's capturing his attention. Right? Who is it? Queen Satyabhama, that once she was told, Narada, they tricked her in some pastime too, that if you can sell your husband to a sadhu, that's auspicious. And she like sells Krishna, you know, because they're saying like, they're telling, this is good for a wife to do. You sell your husband to the sadhu, and there's some exchange, like, yeah, it's very good, auspicious now. And when she understands like, this is permanent, they're now going to take Krishna away. She's saying like, oh, what have I done? You know, I've been duped. You think, then to try and get Krishna back, I need to, you know, give maybe his weight and gold and jewels. So they set up a scale. And on one side of the scale, Krishna's sitting. On the other side of the scale, she's playing bangles, jewelry, and they're trying to like equal Krishna's weight. But we know he's infinitely heavy. They can't get, you know, and she's like frantic. And then what do they do finally as a solution? Various ways of telling the story, but like Krishna's name on a Tulsi leaf. They take all the gold jewels off the scale, put one Tulsi leaf on, and goes like that. So the sum total of the infinite, one Tulsi leaf. And the Garga Sangita also, it says, what does it mean? Like flowers, said that there that one Tulsi leaf contains all the beautiful, you know, intoxicating floral aromas of all flowers are in one Tulsi leaf. But only Krishna can smell that. Right. So, and when Radha, again in Garga Sangita, when Radharani is asked how she got so much devotion to Krishna, although she's Radharani, it's pastimes. And she says, in one place, worshiping Ekadashi, and another place, by worshiping Tulsi Devi. So no less than Radharani herself extolling the glories of Tulsi Puja and worshiping Srimati Radharani, Tulsi Devi. The very Vrindavan, right? The Vrindavan, a van, a forest of Tulsi. And she also has personification as Brinda Devi, and there are other considerations. So, it's consistent with Krishna understanding that the way to Krishna is through his devotees. That is the point, always. That approach. Chatrisya Vyanjan is the line. All of these different offerings, like they have in Puri and elsewhere, they're not acceptable without Tulsi leaves. Yes.
Another question from Pavan Krishna Prabhu. Mm-hmm. What is tolerance? How is it expressed externally and internally? How does this state comes to the soul? Please give some particular examples.
Well, what comes to mind first is Srila Gurudev saying, coming to the point by saying that tolerating what is otherwise intolerable. As one may have certain levels of what, you know, of being tolerant. But he's saying what really demonstrates tolerance is tolerating what is intolerable. So the example we hear, because Mahaprabhu is famous saying, Trinadapi sunichena, tororapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sadahari. That really, to go on with Hari Kirtan, you need to follow this formula. Be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, honor others without expecting respect for oneself. But more tolerant than a tree means trees, they're giving shade, fruit, right? They give shelter. And someone may be cutting down a tree, chopping down a tree. While they're doing that, say they're doing it in the blazing hot sun, the tree is shading them while they're chopping the tree down. That's an extreme example of tolerance. It's not withholding the shade. Saying, oh, you're trying to harm me, then I'm not, no shelter for you, no shade for you, no. Shade is still there, you're chopping the tree down, it's giving you the shade that's necessary for you to do this. I mean, so while being abused, the devotee is still being merciful. They're, on account of the abuse, they're not withdrawing their mercy. They're still merciful. And on a practical level, Guru Maharaj said when he was in Gaudiya Math that some of those surrounding Saraswati Thakur were difficult to tolerate. Some were trying to prevent him from even going to Saraswati Thakur's lectures. Because one of them thought, he was observing Guru Maharaj, he thought, nobody listens that carefully. It's too extreme. He thought he was a spy. Because the Indian government at the time, they're like, spying on different religious organizations, thinking that really they were secretly politically active. But using, because in the religions everywhere in India, you in the guise of religious organization, doing some political, activism. So when he saw Guru Maharaj, like seeing someone listening with such intensity, so acute with his hearing, that he thought he's a government spy. So Guru Maharaj goes one evening to lecture and he says, "I'm sorry, you won't be allowed to attend." He seemed like, what? Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, there's a saying, you know, "God save us from our enemies," and Guru Maharaj would say, "God save us from our friends." So that he's forbidding who will become Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami, the guardian of devotion, the Rupa Nugadara, from attending Saraswati Thakur's lecture. Welcome to the Krishna consciousness movement. So Guru Maharaj, he's offended. Right? And he went for a walk in Calcutta to the Ganga. Sometimes people forget the Hooghly is the Ganga. Where this name Hooghly came from, I don't know the history. Not a pretty name. But the Ganga, the Hooghly is the Ganga. People say, "Oh, we go to the Howrah Bridge, you go to Howrah," that river, that's the Ganga. But still, there's a ghat in Calcutta called the Ganga Ghat, where people go when they want to bathe in the Ganga. It's just, you know, Bengalis being Bengalis. But Guru Maharaj, so he went on to walk on and to think about this situation, and he thought, some of these people are intolerable, but this is what makes him Guru Maharaj, and why he's our guru, leader, and who sets the standard. He said, but Saraswati Thakur, it's clear, he's Mahaprabhu's representative, like Gauravag Vigraham Vande, Gaurangam Gauravai Bhavam, etc. He is that, there's no doubt in my mind that he personifies, he's Gauravag Vigraha, Mahaprabhu's teachings personified. So, and that's what I've come for. So all those surrounding him and the accompanying circumstances that may be are worth tolerating to keep connection with him. That was his thinking and how perfect it is and should be followed by, that's what he thought. Because to think you're going to get along with everyone or not encounter people who, for whatever reason, from your own point of view, may seem difficult to tolerate or intolerable or whatever, when we focus on the lotus feet of Sri Guru, as Saraswati Thakur said, when I'm situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, means when I'm actually in that zone, he said, you don't become aware of the faults of others. He said, rather, you become aware of your own innumerable faults. That may happen. You may start meditating on your own disqualifications. And it goes without saying then that, and if you become overwhelmed meditating on the apparent faults of others, you're not situated in the relativity of the lotus feet of Sri Guru. You've gone off. Because when you're situated at the lotus feet of Sri Guru, you don't become aware of the faults of others. That's, and the same time he says, it is only that I am honeycombed with thousands of faults that I take the task of finding fault with others. And he said, I should have, you know, been serving the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnava. Instead, I, you know, found fault with them, which, on the same theme, go back to Tulsi Dev. Then what, if we find fault with the devotee, Because we may think, well, locally, who is this person who's in my life, or to what is the degree of their Vaishnavata? We're told as a blanket prohibition, don't blaspheme the devotees. We know there are different levels of devotees. We can understand to their degree of Vaishnavata will be the seriousness of the aparad. But still, as a blanket prohibition, we're told, don't find fault with the devotees. Who we hear about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, as we hear more about Rupa, Sanatana, and Jiva, Raghunath Das. But Raghunath Bhatta, you know, I mean, he was, I think, a nephew of Tapan Misra. When he was young, he met Mahaprabhu. He cooked for him, massaged his lotus feet, clean things, did like menial service. But we're also told he could sing the Bhagavatam very beautifully in three different ways, styles of singing. And this gave great joy to Rupa, Sanatana, Mahaprabhu, and others. And he's glorified in different ways. But one of the things we've heard about him is that in addition to his Krishna Nam taking and his giving, you know, 1,000+ dandavats to the Vaishnavas every day, that he refused to hear any faults of any Vaishnava. And it's mentioned, even if there were, in other words, it's not saying like, he didn't want, you know, like some faultless person, someone was saying something objectionable. Even if there were, from another point of view, faults to be found, he didn't want to hear it. Why? Because he knows this is the key to Krishna's heart. If I think ill of his devotees, that will be bad for me. Then Krishna won't like me. Like speaking of Tulsi Devi, once in SoCal, Gurudev said, he's talking about the glories of Tulsi Devi, and he said, when we're chanting Harinam on the Tulsi Mala, he compared it to holding the lotus feet of Tulsi Devi. And he said this inexplicable thing. He said, maybe I've done something wrong and Krishna doesn't like me. He said, but if I hold the lotus feet of Tulsi Devi when I take Krishna Nam, then I have some hope, of success. So Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, understanding, you know, how dear the devotees are, then he's not risking, he doesn't want to hear anything bad about anyone, whatever their level of Vaishnavata is, and however legitimate the fault may be. And in this regard, I feel, you know, inspired to say something about the glories of Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, whom Srila Saraswati Thakur considered today's his Avir Bhav, his appearance day, considered him the co-founder of Gaudiya Math. And also there's chiseled in stone on the Bagh Bazar Gaudiya Math, which is their flagship math. He's referred to, and all these things are written by Saraswati Thakur. He called him Prabhupada Preshta, meaning he's the one who's most dear to Prabhupada, being himself. And he would say, what I want is an audience. I want an audience of educated people. And he delivers that. His sannyas name is Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. His grihastha name was Kunjabihari Das, and Bidyabhushan was his title. But he was known affectionately throughout Gaudiya Math as Kunja Babu, like Kunjabihari, Kunja Babu. And it's mentioned, talking about the humility of the Gaudiya Math exalted disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. You know, the sannyasi were giving Shastanga Dandavats to him as a grihastha. That's how important his position was in the Gaudiya Math. And when times were very difficult and there was a shortage of money in the mat. If you could go to, like, I think it was Iraq, somewhere like that, and be in the postal service, like, it was so dangerous that they paid you two or three times the normal amount. So he did that to give them money to fund Gaudiya Math. This is in the very early days. And so, but to show Saraswati Thakur was so distraught, because he said, he gives me an audience. He's the one I need. And he's gone off to do this, thinking, you know, that that will help. And he wrote them this mysterious letter in which he said that Nayanamani Manjari, that's where he reveals his own internal identity. He said, Bimala Manjari, there's some misunderstanding, and Bimala Manjari has left Nayanamani Manjari and must come back to Nayanamani Manjari to make her happy again so she can do the service given by Radharani. This mystic type letter. But like giving this sort of unparalleled praise. But sometimes this happens in organizations, as Guru Maharaj says, reminds us that an organization is formed to promote an ideal. Absent the ideal, what is it? And he didn't even exempt his own organization from this principle. An organization is formed to promote an ideal. So in Gaudiya Math, formed by Srila Saraswati Thakur, sometimes devotees made some complaints about the management, or they thought there was some misuse of funds or this, that, or the other thing. But they know, knowing Srila Saraswati Thakur, they were afraid to approach him. But they thought, if we can get Sridhar Maharaj, who's, you know, the Bhattacharya Brahman, who's purest of the pure, can't be compromised, if he will on our behalf express these complaints to Saraswati Thakur, then we can hope for some, what's the word, redress. Or so they convinced Guru Maharaj to do this. And Guru Maharaj approached Saraswati Thakur, and Saraswati Thakur was not happy. And he said, he said, I could expect this from the others, but not from you. And Guru Maharaj was chagrined. He was thinking, oh, what have I done, you know, and by the time Saraswati Thakur said, I am prepared to throw money in the Ganga if it's necessary for the service of Krishna. And he's saying, where will I get such a person? Can I hire someone like that? If some money is being used, that's irrelevant to me. I'm ready to throw money in the Ganga in the service of Mahaprabhu. And showing some, what he would sometimes call pralapita bhakya, some, or acharya abhiman, some anger, he said, all of you can go. I only need him. All of you, you can all go. I only need him. Why? Because he wants an audience, particularly of educated people, and that's what Tirtha Maharaj is delivering to him. He came when he and one of his friends, like Saki Charan Babu, who donated the land for Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math in the beginning, that before this, going some backstory, they're in Calcutta, and there's always talk about who's an actual Paramahansa, because, you know, Ramakrishna, Paramahansa, and Vivekananda, this, and in Bengal, this one lady, she wrote a book about, like, naming all, like, so many. But in her book, interestingly, she says that all of these so-called Paramahansas and saints I'm mentioning, remember, she's a scholar, so she's trying to be, she said, they all have detractors. Some, they've got a, in other words, they have a group of people who say, they're just bogus. They're just cheating people, they're bogus, they're not real. They've got followers who believe they are Siddha Purush, Paramahansa, all this, but there's other people who think they're just the worst. And she says, but there was this one Paramahansa Vaishnava whom everyone agreed was the real thing. And his name was Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. She just stumbled onto this in her research. She's saying, so everyone else has their detractors. He has no detractors. Everyone across the board, whatever, they all agree he's the real thing. So when Tirtha Maharaj, before Gaudiya Math, he's in Calcutta with his friend, and we hear about Paramahansas, they don't want to hear about it. You know, they've had enough of these people. These bogus impersonators, imitators, etc. But the word comes to them, they say, but there's one real Paramahansa, and he's in Navadvip. And his name is Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So they think this, they've heard so much. Again, he has no detractors. Everyone else is suspect, not him. And they're thinking, then we should go and approach the lotus feet of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So they go from Calcutta to Navadvip. And they arrive on the day, it's the passing of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And they're distraught, and they're the assembled, you know, Babaji is there, they're deciding what to do. And word, it's understood that he has only one known disciple who lives in Mayapur on the other side of the river. Because Kulia is on the other side of the Ganga, and that's this Bimala Prasad. So somehow word has gone to him. They're going to get him. They're on a boat, and we're told they meet. The boats, like, come in. They've never met him. And we're told Srila Saraswati Thakur, because of his Mahabhagavata vision, he sees his disciples as Vaibhav, were extensions of his Gurudev. He sees them as Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj coming to him. So they connect, and as Guru Maharaj said, hearing from Sakhi Charan Babu that Saraswati Thakur would be preaching, pounding on the table, his lotus face becoming flushed like a pink lotus flower, white, pink, white petals of lotus, and the intensity of his Krishna conception. And they're, at the time, in the jungle of Mayapur. And really it means that we now have the advantage of going there. There are beautiful roads and structures, and the city that Bhaktivinoda Thakur saw has risen. But at this time, it was in fact jungle-like, very jungle-like. No Chaitanya Math, what we go to see every year at Gaur Purnima, not there. Maybe some little place indicating Srivas Angam and Neem Tree and like that, you know, being honored, but nothing developed. So Tirtha Maharaj, he understands, I need to take him to Calcutta and bring important people to hear from him. The governor of West Bengal, educated Bengalis, highly educated, highly positioned people, the editors of newspapers. This was Gaudiya Math. I mean, we worship the villagers that we encounter as you go on the Navadvipa Parikrama, but Saraswati Thakur one of his sayings going where he said, Western civilization, crush it. He realized the whole world was being seduced by the charm of Western civilization. He, like Napoleon, he wanted to take it head on. That's why he's not interested in just recruiting bead counters. He wants an army of preachers. And Tirtha Maharaj helped him achieve this from being in seclusion in the jungle of Mayapur, then only known to like Srila Keshava Maharaj. Keshava Maharaj's sister used to bring lunch every day, like put a plate in his room. They're the fortunate souls who had some initial contact when he was still Bimala Prasad. Then he took sannyas before a picture of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, as Ramanuja had done, and he became, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, and when he told Babaji Maharaj before that, when he's getting the inspiration to do this preaching about that the necessity would be there to go to Calcutta, and Babaji Maharaj saying, Prabhu, Calcutta's Maya. like devotees when they talk, don't go to Calcutta. That's, the hell. Some people describe it as a hell hole. And he's saying, Calcutta, that's like Ma Kali's altar. It's like stay in the Dham and take the name. And Saraswati Thakur was saying, no, you don't understand. Like, I have so much faith in the dust from your holy lotus feet that dust can purify thousands of Calcuttas. Can liberate thousands of Calcuttas. And if in fact Calcutta is like the center of hell, then what better place to establish an altar with Guru, Gauranga, and Radha Govinda? That will be my target. In the center of hell to establish an altar to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga and Radha Govinda. So Tirtha Maharaj helped Saraswati Thakur do this. And Gurudev told also, just show something of his mood, his spirit. He is also, Prabhupada quoted him, associate these expressions with Prabhupada, but it was Tirtha Maharaj who first said, if I get 1 rupee, 50 paisa on book publishing, 50 paisa on the temple, that was his formula, 50-50, to always keep a dynamic preaching element. So Gurudev told the time, and he's directing all the seva and everything. So they're serving prasadam on a feast day. And we see near the mat to this day, sometimes the people, they come and you see they have like their tiffin. It means they're going to take some khichdi back home or something. they're simple village people. And they said, in one instance, some man, the servers, he's like, he's serving halava, like second time, third time, and then the server says, we're cutting you off. And Tirtha Maharaj sees it, and he comes up and he says to that server, he said, I have a question for you. Yes, Kunja Baba. He said, no. Are you serving halava or prasadam? Because if you're serving halava, I understand there could be some limits on that. But if you're serving prasadam is mercy, there are no limits if one is serving prasadam. So what are you doing? Then he went, yes, Kundabala. That gives us a hint of his like devotional mood. And so sometimes we know Prabhupada was critical of his god brothers, but he didn't like for us to be critical of them. once in Bombay on a walk, Prabhupada had satsang, and some devotee decided to chime in. And Prabhupada stopped and halted, and he turned and he said, "My Guru Maharaj did not initiate rascals like you." Saying like, maybe I did that in accepting you as my disciples, but my Guru Maharaj, you're not of the quality of his disciples. And we know so many of them, they came from Vaishnava families, many generations of Vaishnava families, Sanskritians, and just like when Guru Maharaj came, Ramendra Chandra Bhattacharya from Hapania, right, Sanskrit-speaking family, know all the scripture. When Guru Maharaj came, Saraswati Thakur quoted the verse from the Gita that begins with, "Yad yad acharati shrestha," saying, whatever the great men do, everyone else will follow. So Saraswati Thakur, in his opinion, he said, if men like him join our mission, he said, the prestige of our mission will increase. And Prabhupada said before leaving, he said, in his final days, his heart was pained. He said, you know, sometimes in preaching, I've said some offensive things about my God brothers. He said, so I beg their forgiveness. So, as Guru Maharaj says in his prayer, five prayers to Saraswati Thakur on his appearance day, the last line always ending, pranamami cha charanantika paricharaka sahitam. We don't worship Guru as we don't worship Krishna in isolation. In the absence of his devotees, what are we talking about? Tulsi Devi? We don't worship Guru in isolation. The Guru also has entourage. And as Gurudev said in his final days, he said, everyone has some fault. Yeah. It was interesting. It's like he's always this Trinadapi Suni Chena Sloka. He's always churning that. Kaviraj Goswami says, you know, wear this like a garland on your neck. Take the holy name and wear this sloka, Trinadapi Suni Chena Tororapi Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari, like a mala, a garland. Gurudev sat beneath this sloka, was above his head, and he quoted it perhaps at least once a day. But in a mood of that, he said, everyone has some fault. And he said, big or small, that is not the question. He said, but one who has devotional spirit, he said, that must be recognized and accepted, recognized, appreciated. And that's actually how he ran the mission. He's saying, like, yeah, if you search for fault, you'll find fault everywhere. As we hear in that story of when was the guru who sent Yudhisthira and Duryodhana? No, Guru, with a D also, I forget. Huh? No, there's Drona, sent Yudhisthira. Anyway, they're both sent on a mission to find, we're told, Dronacharya is told, find a man who's just totally pure and free from fault. And Yudhisthira is told, find a man who is just 100% evil. And they go away for a year, and maybe Dronacharya. And they come back, and he asked Yudhisthira, and I mean, asked Duryodhana, and what is your conclusion? He said, well, I met a lot of really good people, but on closer scrutiny, every one of them had something wrong with them. So I've come back empty-handed. Found something wrong with everybody, no matter how good they were. Yudhisthira, he said, well, I met a lot of, you know, evil people, but they all had, everyone I met had some redeeming quality that just sort of canceled that. And that's what he says, each one of you is to represent. It's not that you came back empty-handed, it's to prove that the two of you should meet each other. Yudhisthira, here's that man. He finds fault with even good people. Yudhisthira, here's the man you're looking for. Even people who are filled with fault, he finds something redeeming about them. So Gurudev said, everyone has some fault, big or small. That is not the question. But who has devotional spirit, that should be recognized, accepted, praised. Anything else?
There was a question from Priyanana Didi. In Guru Maharaj's pranam mantra, mm-hmm. Subhakti, the word Subhakti, what does it mean?
Subhakti lasitam. Gurudev, it's like the evening before Guru Maharaj gave me sannyas, we had a talk. And after I left, I remember Krishna Sharan, who later became Aranya Maharaj, he came to me and he said, oh, Guru Maharaj has given you a very nice name. Like he heard Guru Maharaj and Govinda Maharaj discussing what that name would be. Because my name before was Dhira Krishna. And so he said, he was smiling, and he's the one who did the yajna and everything. But then Guru Maharaj told me, your name is Bhakti Sudhir Goswami. And he said, Su is an intensifier. He said, like in the sense of very or much or extraordinary. And he said, and it adds an element of beauty. Right? Like Sundar, Su. So he said, beauty and it's increased beauty and increased density. That's why. And then once we were in London, and Gurudev, he said to me, he was just in a light mood or something, and he said, we are both Bhakti Su. Because I'm Bhakti Sundar and you're Bhakti Sudhir. And I'm like, oh, thank you. But Guru Maharaj, you see, he called him Sundar Govinda. What are his deities? Govinda Sundar. He's Sundar Govinda, and the deities are Govinda Sundar. And Sundaram, that this is like not just favorite word of Guru Maharaj, but theme. Reality the beautiful means reality the Sundar. Shama Sundar, Krishna, Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Sundar. So, Su adds intensity and beauty. So for Gurudev, he has the poetic expression about Guru Maharaj. He can't leave it at bhakti. He wants to take it like the highest type of bhakti, like Mahabhava, illusion, and the most beautiful with the element of beauty. So he's saying Subhakti. Just sometimes he would talk about Guru Maharaj's Su Siddhanta. Because there's Siddhanta, and then we say Su Siddhanta. It's like very high, very intense, and very beautiful. That's what I would say about that. But in Gurudev's pranam, where Guru Maharaj, what he wrote in the last, where he says, about Tanu. What is the line? The third line? The Sundaram and Tanu. Someone knows? That's the second line. Next line. Bharatanum. That's what Gurudev, like, because he said, he said, looking very nice. Because it means like beautiful, tanu means form. Bhaktyanvitam sundaram, right? Bharatanum. Has a very beautiful form. He liked that line. Because it's combined with Sundar Govinda, that means the beautiful Govinda. So he's saying not only is he internally beautiful, but in Gurudev's word, and looking very nice. Internal and external beauty. Any other question? I think that's all right. Yeah, all right. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Kesavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan. Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra. Garadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raguna. Echai Gochai Kori Charana Bandhan. Jaha Hoite Vignanash Abhista Puran. Echai gochai jar mui taro das. Tansa bala padarenu mora panchagras. Tandara charana sevi bhakta sanevas. Janame janame more abhilas. Echai gochai jabe braje koilavas. Radha Krishna nitya lila korilo prakash. Anande bolo hari bhaja vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava pade majai aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava pad padma koriyash. Hari Nam Sankirtan Koe Narottamadas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gaura Haribo, 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 Gaura Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Gaura Haribo. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Charjo Satarasala Shri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagawan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Shri Shri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Shri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Sri Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj Abhirbhav Mahotsav Titi Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimala Vidut Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.